CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. The week is flying ahead. It's Thursday, 22nd of June. We're here at the Gareth Cliff Show right here, Johannesburg, South Africa. Gareth, how are you doing?
Look at you. Yeah, that's nice, Ben. Yeah, I like that. That's a good intro.
Yeah, see, and I've been working on them. Well, not really. I just sit down and then I try to get you going. Cool. So whereabouts are you? You still in Bonn, or you've moved on from there?
No, we are in Amsterdam.
Ah, of course. Today is the Thursday, Amsterdam. How was the train trip across?
Dit is heel vrolijk in Amsterdam, ja. Het is fantastisch en eindelijk het ons een heerlijke tijd hier in wonderlijke mensen. En dus puik en... what's the word for fucking beautiful? I can't remember now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you get the basic idea. It's fantastic. The place is, what an interesting place. I've never been here before in my life, so it's totally new. And I had no expectations, because really it was just a bonus on this trip. It wasn't even meant to happen.
Yeah.
Decided to do it at the last minute. And I spent yesterday afternoon, arrived here at about 4 in the afternoon, and spent... the shortest night of the year, because the sun only went down at about 11:30.
Nice.
And yeah, it's amazing. Hey, Mubs.
Hello.
It's here.
Good morning.
And just spent the whole afternoon walking around, checking the place out. You smell weed everywhere, Mubs. You'll be so pleased.
Oh, what a comforting thought.
But like good weed, good weed.
I wouldn't know the difference.
He wouldn't know the difference. You would only know the difference from getting high on bad weed versus getting high on good weed. That's how you know the difference.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I feel like I'm very naive and stupid and need to kind of wake up.
So have you met up with High Rob yet?
No, he's coming to Amsterdam tomorrow. Today at probably about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, so I'll see him later this evening.
Why? Where's he been? Did he go on a bike ride and then get lost?
I don't know, Ben. You must ask him. You're the one who's always talking to him. But it's quite fun because in Berlin, I got to see one of our listeners, and in Amsterdam, I will. And in Frankfurt on Saturday, before I come back to South Africa, I'll meet another listener of ours, Joe. So we got a lot of different people all over the whole world listening to us, and it's part of this amazing community of people on cliffcentral.com that I'm so pleased we can be a part of.
Yeah, Gareth, we need to work on this world tour. I think we can do like 3 destinations a year, like nothing too ambitious. And just go and broadcast. I think that's what we need to start doing.
I think it's doable, Ben. I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
Fantastic. And I think that we should come up with our own version of Ludacris's hose in different area codes.
Wow.
Because clearly we've got people listening to us in different area codes.
Yes. I'm here for that party.
Yeah, it seems like that's a totally doable thing. But yeah, what an interesting place. So Amsterdam, I'd read about it, I'd seen pictures like anybody. But the really interesting thing about this place is that it's just the most laid back place in the world. Everything is so relaxed, you know, crossing from Germany to Holland on the train, nobody checks your passport.
Oh, wow.
Nobody cares. They're like, and the change in mood and in attitude to the world between Germans and Dutch people are, I mean, it's like worlds apart, because the Germans are very stoic and serious. And yeah, this is, you remember I told you about the woman at the at the counter who said, no, this is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, they have rules, and they all, you don't cross the road if the little man on the traffic lights is red. That kind of, Germans follow the rules. They're very disciplined people. Not in Holland. In Holland, everything goes. You have people walking around with, I mean, I would say 80% of the Dutch population yesterday, the male population was shirtless, and the female population were wearing as little as possible. And that, I think, is awesome. I mean, why would you want to live in a society that's all uptight and, you know, worried about what the other people in the society are thinking? The Dutch don't give a shit. They are doing their thing. And I think it's also a place that attracts a lot of kind of drifters, Holland.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's totally. This sounds amazing.
I certainly don't think that that's bad. But you can see that there are a lot of people who come here because it's very friendly, very accepting, very open city. But I don't know that it's – I think it's much easier to survive here just because the people are nicer than anywhere else in Europe. If you did this in Paris or in Berlin and you just arrived without any money and walked around with an accordion and played music, you wouldn't make a living. In Holland, I think you can.
Oh, life ambitions.
It's interesting you say that. Like, in light of what's happened in Europe in the last couple of years, the fact that you can be in such a relaxed environment is kind of cool.
Well, it is. And, I mean, I read something on the train on the way here about how there was an attack in Belgium. And I thought, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, true.
And as we've discussed so many times on the show, the number of people who actually get killed by terrorism, well, it's like it's a tiny, tiny, tiny number of people worldwide. And
Gareth,
and Holland,
what was it, 2 days ago, some guy just got killed in his Bentley in Santon. Just
what was that? I saw the story. Can you help me figure out what the hell happened there? Because I don't know enough about it.
I haven't seen the updates, but then again, I'm not looking at the news right now. But yeah, he just came from the bank and four or five guys opened fire in his car and he died. I mean, obviously, you never know what the whole story is. Mm. It could be a multitude of things. But like you said, I mean, what are you going to do? This stuff happens in life.
Well, that's pretty damn scary.
But that's all of what, like 3 kilometers from here?
Carry on with your thought where you said only a small number of people get killed by terrorism because you know how people like to be.
Yeah, so I just think we mustn't be paranoid. And obviously there is a danger posed by stupid ideology and crazy people, but I don't think that's ever been any worse or better than at any other stage in human history. So I don't know that it's worth getting extra upset about. And that's a new position for me because I never used to feel that way. And I kind of see people carrying on with their lives regardless. And I looked at, again, to contrast with Germany, a country that was – we were in Cologne at the railway station in Cologne, what they call the Hauptbahnhof. And it's right next to the Cologne Cathedral. Cologne was 97% bombed to dust and rubble during World War II. 97% of the city was reduced to nothing. That's not like Berlin, where 30% of the city survived. In Cologne, 3% of the city survived, and most of that 3% was the cathedral.
Wow.
So this place was, I mean, it's now a thriving cultural university town. There are people wandering up and down. By the way, black people, white people, old people, young people, people from all over the world. This is a very international place. The conference was very international, but Holland is also. And you see people mixing it up, and they don't give a shit about the things that we think separate us. They're not that interested in that stuff. They're interested in getting on with their lives and being themselves and kind of making shit happen. And I have some massive respect for that now, which I might not have entirely understood before.
But that's exactly
this is where travel opens your eyes up.
Yeah, that's exactly what Roman was saying from the Renegade Report, because he was recently in Portugal. And he said people don't give a shit about the stuff that people hold so dear in this country and all these other crutches they live upon.
Yeah, like communism and capitalism and politics and parties, and nobody gives a shit. In this country, they've got elections going on in Germany in the next 3 weeks, I think it is. it doesn't really matter to them who gets voted in.
But if you go into you go into News Network, obviously they need to hype up any story they can around that. Yeah. So they give you the impression that the country's on like modal lockdown over what to choose.
Yeah, so we've just got to stop being swayed by this shit. And it's all politicians trying to manipulate us. I mean, I know how Mavali feels about this. Well, and she's been right from the start.
Well, I hate all politicians. Every single one of them can get fucked.
Well, I'll tell you what can also get fucked is that Bell Pottinger. Have you seen the stories coming out about that?
Oh, no.
Well, still working for the Guptas? What's the story?
Well, there's been more Gupta links now, Gareth, and actual invoices are coming into play and people within Bell Pottinger being identified. It just sounds like a bad movie, and unfortunately we are the butt of the joke.
God, that's so disappointing.
They're like they're just looking to stir shit. That's all it ever was. Creating racial tensions, creating divides, and just using all of this. The more you read it, the more upset you get. And obviously Justice is coming into there because they're burning a platform with Nando's.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what you just said now, it's so simplistic. People are getting on with shit in life. But yet you look at the other side of the coin, the darker side, the grimy side, and is this kind of divide that's being for what?
Well, I don't think we need to fall for it anymore. And it's not because I've suddenly been in Europe and I've opened my eyes. It's because in South Africa, we just need to push these people out. We don't need someone who's going to throw a spanner in the works every time we try to get ahead of where we were. And we were this great nation at a point. I mean, everybody in Europe talks about South Africans being, you know, this great example of how you can sort out your trouble and make a country work together and everybody can get on with it. And we've lost that. We've somehow been, whether it's on purpose with people like Bell Pottinger trying to throw spanners in the works, or whether it's because we've just lost our confidence. We have so much to prove, and we already have proven so much that's good. I don't see how we can let this experiment fail. There's too much weighing in on it. There's too much resting on this. Let's make it happen, please.
Yeah, and once you get through this current level of filth, like that's it. That'll be it.
Yeah, it might be a very thick, grimy,
decent level, but I mean, one good cleanup. Yeah.
Yeah.
But one good cleanup, and people will realize, oh, okay, so we're not meant to just be fundamentally shit. Okay, well, cool. Let's try to be nice.
Call me corny, but we're only just one heartfelt, sentimental moment away from getting our shit cleared up again. You know?
Oprah get up for us and try to do something, Hesia?
Hey, okay.
She's been very quiet.
I wasn't about to say that extreme, but you know.
How about she get involved?
All it takes is some national bonding session, like a little World Cup. Yeah. So can Sepp, whatever he's going through out and make us feel good about ourselves again.
Sorry, I agree with everything you're saying. What the hell is on your hand, though?
What do you mean?
That is like, who's that god in the 300? Gareth, the guy in 300, the Arabian god person.
Persian king, Xerxes.
Xerxes got a hand like Xerxes at the moment. He's got this ring that's going over two fingers with like a hanging chain.
Yes.
Where do you find something like that?
This is like a, what do they call it, like a knuckle buster?
Okay, so let's go on Instagram right now.
Or whatever the case is. It's just a ring that goes over two fingers. That's all it is.
All right, Xerxes.
This is a little Xerxiano. That's all.
Yeah, it's very difficult for someone as old as Ben to keep.
Oh, come on! Sorry, buddy. Do you see that every single day of your life? Ah, gee, wow.
Yeah, why are you reacting like you've just seen the Virgin Mary giving birth? Right?
I
looked at it and I thought, oh, that's nice.
Seriously, like Madonna could walk in here with no trousers and three Latin lovers, and I'd still be staring at this thing on Sia's hand.
Three Latin lovers, maybe with four, you might be able to turn your attention away. This is very Beyonce single ladies.
I mean, yeah, it's you. It works. It's just wow.
Thank you. It just doesn't work practically, though. When you think about it, you need to separate your fingers for certain things. So I can't
exactly in your ways, yeah?
Open a door or hold things, but it's a look.
So yeah, Gareth, my body is again 100% right. Ben, you're 1,000 years old.
Gareth, we've already established you're in no position to be throwing such comments to me.
May I just say?
I may organically be older than you, but I think you've got someone transplanted your brain from someone 400 years ago.
But on top of that, I'm actually feeling bad for Ben this week particularly, because some behind-the-scenes drama that happens is Ben has basically gone through like two headphones this week alone.
Thanks, yeah. It is actually hurting my feelings right now.
But I'm supporting you.
I appreciate that.
They must understand. They must tread lightly.
Yeah, because like I've got this massive bastard head, right? So this week, I sit down here at the desk, and it's quite simple. I sit down here at the desk. I plug my laptop in. I get ready for the show. I get the signal from Amanda that Gareth's on Skype, and away we go.
Yeah.
And putting headphones on is part of that process, right?
Oh, it did.
And then you hear – I've heard the snap sound twice. So two sets of headphones cracked because they're already at that limit to go on my head. But in order to get onto my head, you still have to extend them slightly, right?
Yeah.
Because the headphones don't slip on like a sock. I mean, look how angry I'm getting. And, yeah, there we go. Just two sets of headphones. Clank. See, Gareth, this is why I wear those earbud things, because they don't have a thing that breaks on the side of my head.
So you need, like, a custom extra wide set
of headphones. I need, like, stretchy headphones, like crazy headphones.
Oh, see. This
is so embarrassing.
But I'm here for you, Ben. That's why. I had to put that out there.
Thanks, yeah. You and your Xerxes ring. So, Gareth, what is today in Amsterdam hold?
I'm going to go and look around. There's just, you know, I've got today and then tomorrow morning early I'm leaving. So it's really just trying to squeeze a bunch of things in. I believe the Rijksmuseum is amazing because it's got a very good, you know, overview of the history of the Netherlands with lots and lots of interesting artifacts, plenty of great stories, plenty of amazing sort of remnants of the old Batavia, and you know, I walked past a building yesterday that was built in 1651. That means that building was put up before any white people had settled in South Africa.
Wow, that's quite a thought.
And it's still standing and people live in it,
man. Like, for you as this history buff, you are just probably on a high of notes traveling throughout Europe right now.
Yeah, I'm loving this.
Is there anything else in Europe that you still want to tick off?
Yeah, in Europe there's plenty. I still want to do Northern Italy. There's plenty of other stuff. But on this trip, this is a bonus. Amsterdam is a big plus, because what I want to do is go and look around. There are fascinating little places and things that we just don't have in South Africa. There's an engraver, someone who makes stamps and seals out of metal and that kind of thing. You know, they're little nooks and crannies and funny restaurants that, by the way, I mean, they sell every incarnation of weed you can imagine. So you get hemp soap, you get cannabis oil, you get bongs, you get pipes of every variety you could possibly imagine. I mean, like, you get those little glass crack pipes, you get old porcelain pipes that are long, almost as long as your arm, that you would obviously smoke weed through, and just a bunch of really cool, interesting things if you're into that stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So what drugs are you doing later? I mean, like, I'm sure the history is great, and you can tell us more about that next week as well. But what drugs are you going to do? I'm 1,000 years old. What are you going to do?
This is your year of yes as well, Gareth.
Year of
remember
yes
that?
In Europe, in summer, single guy. What's going to stop you?
I don't know. I mean, let's see when High Rob can show me around. At least he knows what he's doing. I'm totally naive about this stuff. I wouldn't know where to start.
Yes, Gareth, you keep saying. Doesn't mean it has to be the way and the future for you.
Yeah. Stop pressuring me, for fuck's sake.
Oh, stop pressuring you. Okay, sorry, Grandpa. How dare I try dip your toe into the pool of something interesting?
But as you were describing Amsterdam, it does sound like heaven for Seth Rogen and Willie Nelson.
Oh, I'm sure that they live here some of the year.
And High Rob probably rolls around in the circles as well. I won't be surprised.
I reckon. Yeah, so look, I mean, it's fairly fascinating. I don't think that you can... I don't think you can write Amsterdam down as being just one thing. I don't think Germany's just one thing, but it's fascinating to look at this.
But it really is, like you keep saying, you know, like the Second World War and what happened and how things changed from there. and you keep going to these different places and the kind of things you can take in. And like every single trip can just be one of these cities, and you'll still never come close to seeing and doing everything. Like, that's quite hard to say, like, for other places around the world. I mean, Gareth, I know you hate the UAE, and you probably will never set foot there. So that'll be your biggest nightmare. But it's just so, it's another thing that, like, travel and to seeing that kind of stuff. Like, Rory from Frankly Speaking, he's currently in Europe, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, Andrew's doing the show now. The last 2 weeks.
I'm not sure where Rory is. He's probably in one of these weed dens somewhere around Amsterdam. I must look for him.
Yeah, but when he comes back, we must have a chat to him, because it's so great hearing people when they go to Europe and they go to these places and what they take out of it, because it is. It's the most important thing. And unfortunately, it's not a thing that people get to do for obvious reasons, but it's something that everyone should prioritize.
Mm. Well, look, it is expensive, and this is unfortunately one of the things that I've realized too, is that travel's just, it's becoming increasingly inaccessible for a lot of people, and I think that's kind of sad.
Yeah, well, with Iran keep tanking as well.
Hey. Yeah. Well, it's like I said yesterday to Anthea, it's almost as if the government are doing their absolute best to screw us over.
Yeah. Well,
they want us to be incapable of traveling. They want us to be unable to access the internet. They want us to live in slavery with them as the masters for as long as possible. And we can't let them rule the roost like this. It's just not on.
Yeah, it's just that control scare tactics that other countries have tried to do for so long. It's just such an old cliched way of going about things, and it's all just so primitive.
Absolutely. All right, is it time for us to get to Mubs yet, or we still got a little bit of time?
We still have a little bit of time.
All right, tell me, we've got Justice on today at 7 with the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. He sent me a message last night to say he's very excited about today because there's so much to talk about. I've seen, it's so funny listening to Dutch, because you really can, people have said this to me, but I've never listened to enough Dutch. People say you could tell what they're talking about if you could speak Afrikaans, and you can. Like it's hard because it's not exactly the same, and they use words in strange places, and obviously it's a little more complicated because it's a much older language. But you can understand, like, the vocabulary is there. You can make up what they're saying and figure it out.
Ooh.
Let me read this to you quickly. Geniet van uw verblijf in ons hotel. Met veel plezier heb ik deze kamer voor u schoongemaakt.
Okay, you know all I caught there was geniet, enjoy.
Something about enjoying hotel. Your stay in our hotel, and then the code for the porn is 0658.
No. All right, so geniet even van uw verblijf in ons hotel. That's, we wish you a very pleasant stay in our hotel. And met veel plezier heb ik deze kamer voor u schoongemaakt. With pleasure, I cleaned this room for you. And it's signed by the woman or man who cleaned the room.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, they left you a note?
Well, no, everybody, it's a little card that they put in the room.
Oh, damn it. I was going alongside Ben thinking now, like, oh, like a little European maid. And I say maid because, like, in my head, they're dressed in, like, a little black and white negligee uniform.
Yeah, I don't think I was staying in that kind of a hotel, but yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
later.
Maybe
you
later.
You never know.
Yeah, my vision is still working out for me. It's fun.
All right. Good. What else is going on at home that I need to know about? You mentioned the guy was shot in the Bentley. Any crazy stuff, Ben? How's the drone going?
Gareth, I haven't flown this week. I've just been quite busy, but I played golf yesterday. It was really cool. I played golf at a place that was so fancy. You're not allowed a cell phone.
Yeah, you were on the golf course,
and
yesterday.
you're not allowed jean pant anywhere on the property. Anywhere.
What's the justification?
It's just a private club, so the River Club in Sandton. So, it's really cool. So I played with this friend of mine. His friend got really drunk one night and ended up buying a four ball in this charity golf day. But, like, he got hammered, and then he got the bill. It's like, shit, this golf day must be the most incredible thing ever. So he paid this huge amount of money to go to this golf day, which we played in yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But it was a charity day, so there was absolutely no frills whatsoever. So we went there with these really big, like, massive ambitions around this day, and it was so basic. because it was purely to raise money for building schools in Diepsloot.
So I'm still sort of hung up on their rules. I get the attire because, you know, I know even just with normal golf courses, you have to wear specific things. But with the cell phone?
Yeah, it's kind of cool like, to actually go
to be sitting on your phone and taking pictures.
They'll throw you out and they'll bankrupt your family.
Okay, that's
they'll pot and just write crap about you. That's how rich these people are.
But do you literally have to hand over your phone as
it's
you
not,
walk
it's
in?
Not like that, but you just can't use it. But it's kind of cool going to a place like where else where there's absolute no cell phone rule. I can't think of any other place we go to, so it's kind of cool. So yesterday I played golf without a cell phone,
mm-hmm.
which kind of sucked actually because I've got this app which tells me exactly how far away I am from the hole, like what distance I am, all that kind of stuff. So I needed that.
Yeah.
But I had a nice caddy called Eric. Very slow on the walk, but very fast on the talk.
See, but I have to say, this place is so presumptuous, it sounds like my kind of place.
It is, it's
actually
great, but it's like an absolute time warp. So here you are, okay, you can see Sandton CBD right there.
Yeah.
You can see the William Nicol in the distance, but here you are in a place where everyone speaks rather posh.
My type
and it was just cool. It was a great day out. It was like lots of fun.
Is there a great place to have a drink?
Yeah, it's
fantastic.
Really cool. Like,
sign me up.
Nice veranda overlooking the golf course. But yeah, they don't want you. They don't want me. They don't want Gareth. They don't want anyone.
I was just gonna say, you're assuming that they would let you in.
I can.
They've got enough people. Sia
thinks
money.
That everyone in high society wants to be around him, and he's probably right.
Why, of course.
You
yes,
would just need to convince
yes.
him a little bit, and they would see that he's our kind of person.
Yes.
But you get the impression like even the staff is richer than you there. Like it's that kind of place.
Great.
Yeah, which is nice because the service is good. Not some place where the guy will like ask you what you want to drink and then cough in your general vicinity and then come back with what you didn't order.
So did you have a whole bunch of the regulars yesterday kind of looking down on you because they can see that you're not one of their own?
No, look, when I play golf, I look rich. I look balling. So that doesn't happen when I play golf. Not like in general society when people look down on me.
Did you go, for example, into their toilets? Because that's how you truly
toilets?
See.
What is this? Absolute. Toilets?
Oh, sorry, not a toilet. Toilet. So
men, gentlemen's change rooms here.
Yes. Did you go to the powder toilets. Room?
Sorry, where's the toilets? You out. Get out.
Oh, yeah. You
out.
See, maybe I wouldn't be able to survive in a place like that.
Toilets.
Okay. Yes. Did you go to the gentleman's cloakroom? Did you need to powder your nose?
No, you put sunblock on, Sia. I mean, I'm dating a 1650 French.
Well, the reason why I ask is because that's how you truly see, like, true wealth. You know, like, if there's, you know, soft towels.
No, look, it's not completely ostentatious. There's many golf course experiences in this country where you can get a guy who literally holds a towel for you outside of a shower. Yes. There's, like, a sauna. It's got everything it needs. It doesn't have to be any more showy than that. The golf course is lovely.
Mm.
But it's not like over the top, it's just very unique. And you walk around the car park afterwards, and every car's amazing. Like, it's proper amazing.
Oh, my brother, I'm telling you.
This is the thing about South Africa. We've got such an impoverished society on one level, but then there are these little enclaves of like super influential, super wealthy, super connected people. Mm. And, you know, some of us don't even know they exist. Like, if you told me about River Club before, I would have said, sounds like an old age home.
Yeah, but it's a top good golf course. It's not like a shitty nine-holer where people act ostentatious. It's a proper golf course, and it's in the middle of Sandton. Yeah. And if you drive around, you might go, what's that? If you don't know what golf is and that kind of stuff. But there it is. It's a thriving thing, and it's got a small membership base, and that's all they need. They don't need money, but they will have an odd golf day. So, I mean, this was a particular charity day, and that was that. So it was a nice day.
All right. So the charity was, first of all, that they invited you, and then that they're helping the charity.
Well, I was invited by a friend. So, I mean, yeah, Gareth, you're right. There was charity at every level of my day yesterday.
Yeah. No, I mean, how nice for you.
No,
how
wait,
nice
for them. I paid for my own Uber.
they stooped to allow Ben in so that they could raise some money for the poor.
No, but I felt kind of bad. I went Uber X. I should have got Uber Black to that place.
Yeah, but you paid for your own Uber, which exposes you as a peasant.
Oh, yeah,
all those other people had drivers drive them there, I'm sure.
Screw it. I got to the first tee and I wasn't a peasant.
Giles.
Can you imagine
was
a world
where
you can afford an Uber makes you a peasant to them? Oh, gosh. What have we become?
I did get a rather patronizing look from the caddy master when he was hauling my bag out of a Toyota Corolla.
Just like, what? What is this?
He was like, oh.
Are you sure you got the right course? Yes.
What are your kind doing here?
I'll call him Giles for the purpose of this conversation. Giles just sounds
Do you ever treat yourself like you know that you really shouldn't get something that's first class or Uber black or more expensive than you can, but you think, well, what the hell? Life is short and you do it anyway.
Yeah, you have to. That's what keeps you sane in life, I think.
Yeah, sometimes you got to do that stuff, right?
See, I do that with dining a lot. You know, once in a while I go, actually, screw it. And you go to a great restaurant and you just order to your heart's content. That's what life is all about, I say.
Dining to your heart's content.
That's just...
We aren't talking about Sia here.
Let's see what that means.
Drive the waiter crazy with his order and then...
It basically means jumping straight to dessert. That's what it's about. All
right, well, now we've got to jump straight to the news, which, of course, is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. It's almost Friday. It's almost the weekend. You deserve something great, and Colcacchio Pizzeria does have that for you in pizzas, pastas, salads. There is one in your area. There's an app, Eat In, Eat Out. It's all got there, right there. Colcacchio.co.za for everything else. Colcacchio.co.za. Everything else you need to know. But Bunny Malloy, what is going on? What's hot in the news right now?
All right. So now that Bell Pottinger are apparently out of the Gupta business dealings, South Africa's first family, the Guptas, have apparently been scrambling to find a replacement spin machine. And this is after damning revelations of their involvement in the capture of ministers and government officials began. All of this was made public about a month ago. And then very shortly afterwards, several websites and Twitter accounts relating to White Monopoly Capital were launched, and they were used to attack some of the biggest Gupta opponents. Some of the people who were consistently targeted on Twitter range from Amabungani's Sam Soul, Trevor Manuel got the brunt of it, former editors Peter Bruce of the Business Day and City Press's Ferial Hafaji were harassed, former public protector Thulima Donsela obviously got it left, right and centre. The ANC deputy president Cyril Ramaphosa was also attacked, as was EFF leader Julius Malema. So all those people who were speaking out against the ANC and the president just really got targeted by these fake accounts. Now, some of the accounts created are so obviously fake, they would be funny if it weren't for the tragedy of the state capture and the damage that they have wreaked in the country. They've identified some of these accounts as, for example, I'll go through some of these names. Becca Reddy, Dikotsi Foster, because, you know, Petunia Mutapo, Buang Ferreira. Buang Ferreira, okay?
Hey, Buang could have gotten married to a Ferreira.
Buang could have gotten married to a Ferreira. Dikotsi could have, you know, adopted a Foster. I don't know. So the logical conclusion here is that whoever was setting up these Twitter accounts must have run through just a general list of South African names and then just mashed a bunch of them together to try and create an actual person.
There was no doubt the interns who did this.
No, Ben.
Well, this is a bot army. That's what that is. Bots are created like this, and then they're given fake IDs. And clearly this is a very, very cynical next-level attempt by the Guptas to fuck with us. These people are just unconscionable.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it wasn't just the interns, as Ben suggests, because an investigation by Scorpio has revealed that one of the names linked to these websites that were created for the purposes of spreading pro-Gupta news and then, you know, attacking all those other people who were against the Guptas is one former Sahara Computers IT engineer, Saurabh Agarwal. He joined the Gupta-owned company in 2008. At the time, he listed his address as 3 Saxon World Drive, Saxon World, right next door to the mothership at number 5 Saxon World Drive, Saxon World. The website described itself as a mission to reveal some exclusive leaks about the misdoings of the white capitalists. Articles were published under a staff writer byline. No contact information was provided for the website administrators. So I mean, they've managed to find at least one person who's responsible for this website popping up. But the question is, how many more were deployed by Bell Pottinger to create fake accounts, fake websites? How many more is the question that I'm wondering?
Mm. Yeah, they've obviously left a blueprint in place that was obviously so simple even Oros can still do what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we are not. No, we're many things, South Africans, but we are not stupid enough to fall for this crap. These guys have got to watch out. They are digging a huge hole for Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma, and this is the problem. They're making it very difficult for her to be able to hold her head high and go into these elections as anything but a puppet. And it's clear now who pulls the strings. It's not President Jacob Zuma. We always thought it was, right? It's not these ministers, Faith and Musebenzi and people like Claudia Motsweneng and Ben Ngubane. It's not them. It comes straight from Atul and AJ. And with all of this that they're doing now, they're proving more and more how little we can trust them and how much they're trying to control things. And I think that this is going to backfire horribly on them. It's going to turn the whole of South Africa against them. And the more they try to cling to power, the less likely they're going to be to cling to it.
Yeah,
so I think this is great. We can all see through it. There isn't a single South African who's busy going, this makes a lot of sense.
See, I agree with you. I'd love to think that. But the voting majority public, I mean, do they really care about having your head held high going to these things? It's just mass propaganda that'll be thrown in their face. And I don't see like a big change coming around this. Because who's going to prosecute them? These people aren't going to jail for doing ridiculous things. They've been,
I think they actually might.
Look,
I'll tell you what. Musabenzi Zwane and why do you think Ben Ngubane resigned the other day? I think he's concerned. Like he realizes jail is possibly on the horizon, and he doesn't want to have to explain to his kids why he's sitting behind bars.
Yeah, but with like Shaun the Sheep and the NPA in the current position, that needs to change before something like that could happen, right?
It will. Absolutely will change. It's got to change.
I really hope so.
It has to get worse before it gets better. Sorry, Mubs, you were going to say?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I know that you've been saying that, you know, you can't believe that we as South Africans fell for this and how stupid we are. So in an attempt to try and make you feel a little bit better, there was a whole expose that was done last year in October where the Bureau of Investigative Journalism in the United States managed to reveal how Bell Pottinger had been involved with the U.S. military in that part of the world. It was revealed that Bell Pottinger was hired by the U.S. military to run a covert propaganda operation in Iraq. And apparently the U.S. military gave them $540 million to run this propaganda campaign. Shucks. So Bell Pottinger might very well have their tentacles in various parts of the world, and in like some parts of those worlds, these are very influential nations. So Bell Pottinger guys are quite dangerous.
Well, Mubs, when you think about it, the US military spend how much on rockets and destroyers and battleships and all that kind of stuff? Bell Pottinger is a weapon just like anything else, right?
Just like anything else.
Just as Dave was saying, so you can understand the money that goes towards them because they're selling something that can create great disasters.
So if Bell Pottinger can dupe first world citizens in a country like the USA, don't feel too bad that they came to South Africa and had the rest of us duped as well.
It's a WMD. They were looking for them in Iraq. There. Bell Pottinger's a WMD.
Yeah. WMD?
Weapon of mass destruction.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. So enough about Bell Pottinger and the Guptas. If you were to look at a country like Zimbabwe and I were to ask you, what do you envy about that nation? What would you say?
The weather.
Okay, the weather. Gareth?
Their education system as compared to ours. I think we have a much less... they have a very good, very efficient means of educating their people as compared with South Africa.
So, yeah.
This is a very tall ask, but let's go their vegetation and fruit and stuff.
Okay. Well, you're all wrong. You are all wrong, at least according to the First Lady, Grace Mugabe, who says that the country's land reform program, which was launched in the year 2000, is so successful that every other African country wants to copy it. That is what you envy about Zimbabwe, according to the First Lady. She says that Western countries imposed sanctions on Zimbabwe because they feared land reform would become contagious in Africa. The First Lady was addressing mourners. At the home of Comrade Chinks, a local musician who died last week and whose music popularized land reform, essentially. And in comments carried by the official Herald, Mugabe called Zimbabwe's land reform a success story. Without being specific, she said what was happening in countries like South Africa was what whites feared. She also said that Namibia's president had described President Robert Mugabe as an inspiration. Of course, of course.
See, I'm actually a bit scared of Grace now, especially because, you know, there were these whispers a little while ago about, oh, she could be the successor and. Mm-hmm. You know, this week as well, there's a video that surfaced of ZANU-PF supporters who attacked this opposition activist in Zimbabwe. They whipped this guy with shamrocks and then they forced him to kneel down and worship a picture of Grace Mugabe. And following that, they also forced him to wear a t-shirt with Grace's face. So she's actually a bit of a force.
No, yeah, look, she definitely wants to be the one to take over from her husband. I think that's no secret anymore.
Yeah. Wow, this is just incredible. I mean, first of all, we know here they are claiming that land reform in Zimbabwe was a success. Well, that's not true. They're net importers of agricultural goods, which means that their farms have failed and their population has shrunk because most of their people are trying to get the hell out of Zimbabwe. We've got a huge refugee crisis in South Africa when it comes to the numbers of Zimbabweans who are living in South Africa. We all know that, right? The supermarket shelves are erratic. They're not always empty, but they're certainly not always full. And how could it possibly be a success? You know, to own something but not to be able to do anything with it is almost a worse fate than to not own something, because at least you're not responsible for it lying fallow. There are amazing farms all over Zimbabwe that have just been run into the ground, not because the people who took them over didn't want to make a success of them, but because the government have given absolutely no support to those people. And it's all been about, here, quick fix, take this farm, we'll take it from this white person, give it to this black person, that'll solve everything. And it's done exactly nothing for the people of Zim. So let's not get distracted by this land question. Again, we saw a survey published by the Institute of Race Relations not so long ago that proves that land reform is not one of the most important things on the minds of South Africans, let alone Zimbabweans. What they'd like to see is economic growth and economic opportunity. Very few people want to go and run the farm. They want to enter the formal economy as traders, lawyers, doctors, financiers, economists, bankers, shopkeepers, service providers of various kinds. People want to just make money. They don't want to go and till the fields. This is not 1512.
Yeah, this isn't Russia. And what has Uber and Airbnb and those kind of things taught us? That ownership isn't the be-all and end-all of things in life. It's about making money.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Correct. Anyway, I mean, look, good luck to Grace Mugabe. And that's a very, very scary story. So when you use the word worship for a person, you know you're dealing with 1500. No wonder to her ownership is everything. Mm. Anyway, we've got no time for more news right now. We've got to get to some sport with Ben, and we've got Anthea on the line. So let's go, Ben. What do you got?
All right, news today, of course, brought to you by Kakio Pizzeria. It's these headphones. They're like, it's creaking in my ear because I've got this massive crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really hurting.
Whatever, Ben.
Yep.
Okay, so in the sports, well, the Proteas played yesterday, and I think I've got to stop Proteering so much. I realized yesterday. I gave you a big story this week how two drinks kills me. Yesterday I had four, so yeah. And the worst thing about it was actually watching the Proteas. It wasn't me drinking.
Well, no wonder you can't speak today. You had exactly twice your limit.
Mm, I had tequila and twice my limit, and I went to bed late. So the Proteas, the Proteas won the toss. Which is something they can still win. They chose to bat against England. They had a wicket down after one ball. JJ Smuts, he seems to have no luck at this level, so he went for out for a duck. Eventually, AB de Villiers and Bejardine time, they came together. They put on a partnership over 100 runs, but they did it at a runner ball. Now, that might have been cool when T20 first started and the pitch was tricky, but it's 2017. It's like trying to sell corduroy to people. It's just not good enough. It's just not good enough. And I'm just so tired of watching these guys not be good enough. They scored 142 runs. They both got 50s in the end, did Bejardine and de Villiers. They were 3 wickets down, Gareth. 142 for 3. And they just never escalated the run rate. So England, looking at this, half laughing and smiling, they came out. And within 2 overs by Parnell, well, that was the end of the game, really. He bowled 2 overs for 26. Tahir also got absolutely smashed down the order. And Johnny Bairstow, this guy can do no wrong against SA. He scored 60 off 35 balls. Roy, who's in the worst form of his life right now, he scored 28 off 14. And then Hale scored 47. And that was that. They absolutely obliterated the Proteas in the first of 3 T20s. And 33 balls remaining. It's just like, it's not even men versus boys. It's like, it's vindictive men against really untalented boys. That's what that game was yesterday. And it was sad to see. You go on Twitter and it's like, you're trying to be positive the whole time? No. It's just infuriating. It just seems whatever AB de Villiers is leading right now is not working. Fatupasi is waiting for the birth of his child, so he might not be available for the first test. So the Proteas suddenly, you know, a month ago, they were looking pretty good going into this whole English series. Now, well, they look about as good as Boris Becker. Boris Becker is bankrupt. He has no money. And it's all looking very, very bad for him. Of course, he was dropped as Djokovic's coach. And people are saying, well, he's got no way of paying back debts. And he's in pretty much financial ruin. Which is a real shame because the guy was an absolute legend of the tennis world. And the fact that he was coaching Djokovic like so recently means he was still relevant, still has so much to give to the game. But there he is. How you can fall if you don't manage your finances. Mm. Angel De Maria is the latest guy to be involved in a tax case with Spanish law. He has pleaded guilty though, and he will have to pay a €2 million fine. And like I keep saying, it all comes back to these image rights. So their agents and people believe that if you have offshore bank accounts, you can channel your image rights over to here, everything's fine. Spain is saying, oh no, you don't, because they just want to keep getting the tax money from footballers. I reckon Spain is a much richer country as a result of just getting football tax. Yeah, because like the Liga is huge, right? All this tax money is coming through. Take that away, I reckon they'd be an impoverished nation. Okay, maybe not totally impoverished. Looks like there will be drug testing, a step up in drug testing in the world of golf. So you.
Oh, this the verschrikkelijke informatie van de Nederlander. Here is men's heel bang for dit.
Yes, I agree.
Blood test.
If it happened here, these people would shit themselves.
Well, Gareth, there's now going to be a step up in blood testing for golfers for performance-enhancing drugs. So when golf went to the Olympics, a lot of people believe that the top players didn't want to go to the Olympics because of the stringent blood testing. Of course, that was just a rumor. That was just another thing that's circulating. Like, I don't like having blood drawn from my body. It's mine. Leave me alone.
Of course.
But it has to happen because if you're going to be taken seriously as a sport nowadays, and, you know, as the guys are getting bigger in golf, I mean, look at Brooks Koepka. He was posing with the US Open trophy, and the guy had guns for days. Okay, he was kind of, I think, like squishing the shirt around his guns a bit more for accentuation. But this is a big deal because people up until now in golf have not really cared about this. And if you look at a lot of these people, there's no ways they're taking growth hormone enhancers or anything like that. So they're going to be pretty safe. I mean, they might pee in a cup every now and again, and nothing will come back. But with golf being what it is, sure, you're getting in better shape, but also it's just the mental calmness. So you can't be smoking goof beforehand. There's a variety of things you can't be doing. But it's being stepped up. So golfers are now going to be tested much like any other athlete.
All right.
All the cricketing greats are still really angry about the whole spat between the Indian captain Virat Kohli and now the ex-coach Anil Kumble. It just gets to the point where some players are just becoming bigger than the game. You know, we've seen all the rifts in SA cricket around AB de Villiers apparently picking and choosing when he does play for his country. People are still really angry about that. And now with Virat Kohli, I mean, he is, after Sachin Tendulkar, the new god of India. And Anil Kumble, well, he's been disposable.
I remember Anil Kumble. When did he play? Like in the 90s?
Yeah. Yeah, he look, like I said yesterday, he was a succession to the coaching thing. He was going to have his contract renewed, and it was, yeah, it was a really big deal that he was part of that mix because he had so much to give. But no, you fall foul of Virat, then you're out of it. It's just like that. In football news, the Confed Cup keeps going, but pardon my lack of interest in that. I think we all need a break from football for a while. Locally, though, there is one more thing to worry about football-wise, and that is the Nedbank Cup. So Orlando Pirates, SuperSport United, they'll take place on Saturday. It is a repeat of last year's final, and for both teams, they really need this because they both were looking okay in the league. At the start, Pirates completely lost their way, their lowest ever, ever position. I mean, they were just above the relegation zone in the end. SuperSport United, they were looking so good, but they just couldn't get the wins, and they had too many draws, and they were outside of reckoning come to the end of it. So this is a really big deal. Sundowns drew with Esperance last night, playing in Esperance. So that wasn't a very good result for them. And there was one other story I wanted to bring you before we get to Anthea. It involved a guy dying. I'll guess that later. British and Irish Lions versus New Zealand. That's the big thing for this weekend. New Zealand have named their team. It's bloody strong, as you would expect. There's no Julian Sevier in the back line, though, but Sonny Bill Williams does come into it, and his centre partner for the weekend be Ryan Crotty. And big news is that Kieran Reid has returned from his hand injury. He will captain the side, forming part of a formidable loose trio with Sam Kane and Jerome Kiner. In the British and Irish Lions side, well, the captain has not been picked for the team. Sam Warburton has not had a great tour, and many believe he shouldn't have been given the captaincy from the start. He'll be starting from the bench, and Peter O'Mahony, he will be the captain, the Irish guy. So it's a strong team. Farrell's come back from injury, so he'll take the number 10 spot. Ben Teo will be the inside centre. There was some debate about whether he should be there or not. I think the guy's been amazing in the Six Nations for England, so much deserved. But yeah, Peter O'Mahony to captain, Warburton on the bench. So this is all eyes on this for the weekend, because if the New Zealand win this one, the first one up, it's pretty much series done. There's no stopping them. Their biggest chance, the Lions, is hoping for rain, lots and lots of rain, a referee who might not know too much about the ruck penalty, and hopefully the scrums go the way of the Lions. It's the only chance they've got of winning this, and that'll be at Eden Park on Saturday.
Eden Park?
Yeah, in Auckland. That's it pretty much for the sports. Anthea is on Skype.
No, so remember, no? Anthea isn't... And this morning we have
Selejo.
Yes, we have Selejo Tsa.
Okay.
Tsa is standing in for her.
Amanda, do we have him on the Skype? Okay, very good.
Yes, sorry to disappoint you, Gareth.
No, I'm not disappointed. It's Ben who's disappointed. I knew you were coming on.
Ben, sorry. Look, I'm always going to come up short when compared to Anthea, but I think that's fine. Yeah, so it's been a very quiet week on the JSE. Only one company is going to be reporting, that's Naspers on Friday, one major company. So we don't have a lot of local news, but I know Anthea has been discussing the charter, the mining charter, over the past few days. And Moody's has just come out yesterday saying that if the charter is implemented, the credit ratings of our local miners, which already are low, will be downgraded further. So the reason that Moody's gives for this is that the miners would essentially have to fund the increase in the BEE shareholding from 26% to 30%. And if the miners have their credit ratings cut, the most immediate and obvious result of that will be a higher cost of funding for those companies.
Yeah.
So I don't
see how that's going to work. I mean, it's not like mining. They've got money to throw around at the moment. Their margins are pretty tight, and if we're talking about squeezing people who already don't have cash, what do you think, Selejo? Is this a feasible idea? I mean, everybody's saying this is the worst idea ever. This is a terrible charter.
Yeah, I think transformation is important, but it needs to be done in a practical way. As you say, the industry at the moment is struggling, not as much as maybe 2015 and the beginning of 2016, but the platinum industry, for example, is still under huge pressure. And a company such as Lonmin, for example, which had a big rights issue at the end of 2015, the kind of funding requirements that this charter would impose on them just isn't practical at the moment.
Okay.
And then offshore, we have, well, we just have rumors of a reported deal between Nike and Amazon. So last week, I believe Henry discussed the deal between Whole Foods and Amazon, which was announced at the end of the week. And that deal alone sent shares in other retailers in the U.S. down strongly just due to the fear of having to compete directly with Amazon. And now the prospect of competition is sending shares down in the sporting goods sector in the U.S. So we're talking about the likes of Foot Locker, Dick's Sporting Goods, etc. So yesterday, there were reports of a potential deal between Nike and Amazon in which Nike would essentially start selling their products directly on Amazon. You can get Nike products on Amazon already at the moment, but it's not directly through Nike. And so if this deal does go through, essentially Foot Locker, for example, which gets a large amount of their revenues from selling Nike products, you would have to think a company like that will come under huge pressure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yes, I mean, Amazon is, especially in a country like the U.S., which has such high internet penetration rates, I think it's a trend that's going to keep continuing over the medium to long term.
All right.
Then we also had oil inventory data out of the U.S. yesterday. So oil inventories were down 2.5 million barrels, which initially sent oil prices up by about 1%. But oil prices after that started sliding because I guess the negative sentiment in that sector is just pretty strong at the moment. And oil prices have actually touched a 9-month low. So they're currently trading at $44.75 roughly. And that's good for consumers. So it's good for the likes of you and me. But ironically, it may not be good for central banks because most central banks have an inflation target. The U.S., for example, has a 2% inflation target, which in recent data reports they've struggled to get to. And because energy is such a huge part of that basket, if you have lower oil prices, it could lead to inflation numbers decreasing, which limits the U.S. Federal Reserve's ability to actually increase interest rates. So it's a very interesting time for central banks and especially for the Federal Reserve.
I'm going to try to pretend that I know what you're talking about. I did. I'm not sure I totally understood that.
Okay, that's my mistake. So essentially what's happening is we have oil prices, because of the high amounts of supply of oil in the world, oil prices are under pressure. They're decreasing quite dramatically. Okay. And because of that, the U.S. Central Bank, which one of their mandates is to keep inflation around 2%. But if inflation gets too low, so if you get into a situation where you have inflation either decreasing or even going into a state of deflation, that also poses a problem. So essentially, you want prices to increase, but at a very nominal, very small amount. And because for most economies, energy is such a big part of consumer prices, if you have oil prices coming down, then it's going to lead to the whole basket coming down quite dramatically.
I got you. I think I understood it better the second time. Okay. I'm a bit slow on the uptake, Salehu. Forgive me.
No, I just don't have the explanatory skills of Anthea. That's my mistake.
You just did very well. Trust me, I get just as confused with Anthea.
That's about it in the markets at the moment. It's quite a quiet week.
All right,
that's good for us. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you so much. And coming up in a moment or two, Justice Malala, the Burning Platform, which is powered by Nando's. Ben and Mabali and Sia and Amanda and you, I will have to catch you tomorrow morning when hopefully I'll have some good stories for you.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. Gareth, hope you have a great day out in Amsterdam and an even better night.
Right. And I will speak to you guys tomorrow.
The only thing you should worry about is just being here to chat to us. It's between now and then. You just let loose.
Don't worry, I'll do that. Yeah, we're leaving quite early from Amsterdam to go back to Germany and then flying back to SA on Saturday.
Very good. So today it is the songs that Amanda thinks that she was conceived to.
Oh, that must be like last year's stuff. How old are you again, Amanda?
I'm 20.
She's 20.
So that would mean, okay, so we're talking 1997.
So I was born 96. In 97, but I was conceived in 96.
So Amanda's given me a list of songs, Gareth, and she believes that this one could be right up there. Oopsie.
Which one? Which one is it?
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, If It Makes You Happy.
Well, someone was happy in this whole process.
Ah, I love this song. Nice. Nice.
Beautiful. All right, Gareth, have a great day.
Cheers, guys. See you later. CliffCentral.com.